Joshua chapter 2. Look at the topic of faith without works. And we're going to start in Joshua. Just when God had appointed Joshua to take over from Moses prior to entering the promised land, and Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came unto a harlot's house, or an innkeeper, named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "Well, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." You know, it would be akin to, let's say, the Prime Minister of Canada or saying, you know, using the police to do something. You know, this is all hypothetical, doing something to try and stop somebody from doing something, and you say, "Well, no, I'm not really doing that." That's what she, I mean, she's putting her life in a dangerous situation here by disobeying the king. Verse 5, "And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them." So, you know, they're gone, and they were here, but they're gone now, so you can go chase them out there. "But she had brought them," verse 6, "up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof." So up, you know, above on the roof, she hid them under these stalks of flax. "And the men pursued after them," the other guys, "on the way to Jordan, onto the fords, and as soon as they were which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath." What a great statement from this woman. She said, "We've heard about your God. He is God. There's nothing, no one like him. And we know he's powerful because of what he's done for you." Verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord to the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Go you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way." In Hebrews chapter 11, referring to this particular incident, it says in verse 31 of Hebrews 11, "By faith the harlot or the innkeeper Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." It says there that she did what she did by believing. that she helped these men. What did Rahab believe? Like, we just read it. I mean, she believed that he was the one true God, that there was none like him. So she believed that, and because of that, she was able to help these men. In Genesis chapter 22, so keep that record in your mind. We'll go to Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now this is way back, well before the record of Rahab. Or God did prove or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And then notice what all the things that Abraham does here. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built him an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He is willing to sacrifice his child or his young boy. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know, because of what you just did, all these things you just did, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, referring to this particular incident, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. It's like he came back from the dead because he was about to be killed. So both these records, you have Rahab, she believed in the one true God. And as a result of believing in the one true God, she put her own life on the line. And Abraham, another man who believed in the one true God, because of his faith and love for God, he was willing to sacrifice his child. Let's go to James chapter 2. This is the record I wanted to get to. James chapter 2. Sometimes this record can be a little bit hard to understand for people, but as you'll see, that it's pretty simple when you consider exactly what God is saying here. In James chapter 2, verse 14, What does it profit, my son, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? By the way, notice it says here, if a man say he have faith, not that he actually may have it. He just may say, I have it. It's important to understand that. My son, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save? In other words, can that kind of faith where a person just says he has it and doesn't really have it, can that save him? No, it can't. It can't do that. Verse 15, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You know, here it's talking about if someone came to our house and said, I need food or something, I said, well, God bless, enjoy, you know, hope everything works out for you. And yet we have a fridge full of food and not willing to give that person any food. What's the benefit? There's no profit to it. So if a person says, well, I have faith, but if we'd ever do anything with it, it's a dead faith. There's no belief. There's no real believing there. It doesn't profit or bless those who have it. Even so, faith, verse 17, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I mean, another, you know, we say this all the time. You know, act on your believing. Don't we say it? Always for years. Act on faith without works. If we just say, oh, I believe God, but I never do anything with what I believe, Word of God says it's wasted. There's no profit to it. It's dead, according to God's word. Verse 18. See, faith is not supposed to be theoretical. It's not something that's just theoretical. Oh, it's this neat thing called faith, and you know, it's there, and it's not supposed to be theoretical at all. We'll see that here more. Verse 18, yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. See, when you actually believe something, what do? You act on what you believe. If I don't believe something, then I'm not going to do anything about it. This man says, well, you say you believe God. I don't see any sign of that. Let me show you things that I can do to show you that I believe God. You know, remember this whole section, this is not talking about salvation by works, okay? It's not talking about that at all. Right? What it's talking about is when we say we believe something, then we actually act on that which we believe. It's that simple. Verse 18 again, I will show thee by my faith, by my works. Those works are based on having faith. Thou believest that there is one God. Okay? He says, look, you guys believe that there is one God. Well, thou doest well. That's a good thing. The devils also believe. And guess what? They tremble. So in that verse, who's the one that actually really believes in God? The devils. Because of God, actually end up trembling. So you say you believe God. Guess what? The devils believe, but they tremble about it. How about you? Did you ever tremble about God? Do you ever show that kind of reverence? It's an interesting verse, isn't it? They believe. The whole context is when we believe something, we actually act on that which we believe. We just don't go around saying, oh, I believe God. Yeah, oh yeah, I trust God. Yeah, and I've got these 18 backup things just in case. The devils also believe and tremble. How many people today tremble at the thought of God? When Rahab said, when we saw you come into our land, we knew what God did for you. And as a result, we said, there is no God like that. I'm on board. Help me. I will serve that one true God. Our hearts melted because of you, she said. We had no more strength left in us. That's what people out there ought to be doing when it comes to the one true God. Oh, no, it's just kind of nice for you, and that's wonderful. No, that's not enough. They ought to tremble before our God. They ought to show reverence for our God, and we ought to do it first in our own lives. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And correspondingly, trying to do works for salvation or to earn God's love is fruitless. That's not what it's talking about here. Faith without works is dead. It's a dead, dead faith. We know from Ephesians, we don't have to go there, chapter 2, 8, and 9, it says that salvation is not by what? Works. Not of works as any man should boast. It's not by works. It's completely by grace. Romans chapter 3 says that, you know, the righteousness which we got, which we received, we did it not by the works of the law. It's got nothing to do with that. So this section is not talking about salvation and the right with all that God blesses you with when you get it, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not talking about that. It's talking about walking on that which we know to be true. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? See, what Abraham did there, and let's just keep your finger here. We're going to read Romans chapter 4 while we're here. A couple of verses in Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then, Abraham, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If Abraham's works could have gotten him justification before God, he could have said, well, because of my works, I've got this. He could boast, right? Verse 3, what says the scripture? The scripture doesn't say it. It says Abraham believed God, and that was counted on to him for righteousness. So let's keep our doctrine straight. It wasn't because of his works. It was because he believed in God. Back to James. So here, when it's talking about Abraham, our father, it shows that because of his works, it showed that he believed God. Isn't that exactly what the angel said? Now I know that you believe. But it was the believing that got him the standing before God. But that just showed that he believed. That's all. It just showed that he believed. Even the angel said, now I know you believe because of what you've done. And it was imputed, verse 23, and the scripture, verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect, made mature to completion. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. We just read that. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know, James, in chapter 1, what does he write? He writes, be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's the exact same thing. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Believing is not just something where we just hear something and say, oh, I believe, and then we do nothing about it. That's what this whole section is talking about here. Verse 24, you see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. See, the believing has to have the corresponding works associated with it. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot innkeeper, justified by works? So what did she do when those guys came to her? She could have said, oh, you know, I really believe in your God. Have a nice evening. I'll see you later. No, that's not what she did. She said, okay, I really believe in your God. So what showed that she really believed in God? She took those men, she hid them up on the roof, and she put her life in God's hands and said, I believe you. I believe in your God, the one true God. And that's how her works were indicative of that heartfelt believing that she had. That's exactly what it's talking about here. When she received the messengers and had sent them out another way, as we read. And by the way, we do know she ended up being in the Christ line as well, which is interesting. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, and this is talking about the soul life, so faith without works is dead also. The Working Translation writes, believing without, and then in brackets, corresponding actions. Believing without corresponding actions is dead. Weymouth says, faith is lifeless if it is unaccompanied by obedience. So not talking about salvation or justification unto righteousness, as in Romans 3, because it says it's by believing, not of works. But this whole section is talking about faith without works. If we have to have the corresponding actions according to that which we believe. Look at Romans. We'll close in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Excuse me. Verse 22. Hast thou faith, or believing, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What does that mean? You know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, everything that has been accomplished for us by Jesus Christ, everything, has given us newness of life, right? According to Romans, given us newness of life. Now we have the choice, because of all that he accomplished for us. Now you and I, we have the choice if we're going to live that way or not. It's been done. It's a done deal. But we have the decision to make now whether we're going to live that way. You know, Ephesians 5 is a great example. Ephesians 5 and part of 6 lays out all the things that, you know, children are supposed to do, husbands, wives, workers, laborers, and masters, people who are all the things that we're supposed to do. If I say that I believe God, and I believe in all that Jesus Christ has accomplished for me, if I say that, yet when I go to my office or when I work, I'm more concerned about what my boss thinks than what Jesus Christ thinks, then I'm not really walking in faith, am I? Because my Bible tells me I'm supposed to work heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. If I'm more concerned about working unto men and what they think of me than what my Lord thinks of me, then I'm not walking in newness of life, am I? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I can get blessed by the work that I do, or I cannot get blessed by the work that I do. It's up to me. You know, if I go to work and I talk disparagingly of my wife, of Jane, if I say, oh, you know, this and this about that, and I talk badly of her, when my Bible tells me, husbands, never be bitter against your wives. It says you're supposed to die for your wife. Now, if I go and talk badly about her or say secret things about her to other people, then I'm not walking in faith, am I? I'm not walking in newness of life. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If your children don't obey you, that's sin. Because the Bible says they're supposed to obey you. See, everything Jesus Christ has done for us, it's laid out a whole way of living, a newness of life. That's faith without works. What are the works we're supposed to show? And we just saw Rahab and Abraham and these things, how they acted and what they believed. Well, now God has given us a whole foundation of the work of Jesus Christ upon which to believe and live our lives. And if I don't live that way, that's I'm not acting according to what a faith I say that I have. If I say I believe my God, and then I'm more concerned about what people can do to me or what people think of me and what all these other things, then I don't really believe my God, do I? I have to look at myself in the mirror and say, well, is that faith or is it just something theoretical that I think I'd like to have? You know, it's a pretty tall order. How about if I say that, you know, it's pretty simple for us when we think of things like stealing, you know. Oh, the Bible says you shouldn't steal. Okay, well, when you steal, that's sin. Yeah, we understand that. Well, that's not all the Bible says, does it? It says a lot more. You know, for the thing and the way we're supposed to live and walk according to our lives. See, the work of Jesus Christ encompasses all of our life. All of it. There's, you know, a lot of thinking. A lot of times people believe that the scriptures, the word of God that we hold in our hands every Sunday or every morning when we read it, these things and the things we think about, a lot of times people think it's a sideline to life. It's something that we do beside the life that we live, as opposed to, it is supposed to be the basis for everything that we do. It's not a hobby. It's not something, oh, you'll give it a little bit of time every once in a while and maybe 10 minutes in the morning. And it's what you are. This is who you are. This is what we are. And for an innkeeper, out of the blue, like, to put her life in the hands of the one true God, just like that. I don't know how much she knew. All I know is these guys show up and she says, I've heard about your God. I will risk my life for him. Wow. Abraham, to risk his child for the sake of the one true God. This is not just some little hobby. This is not just something that we do. This is what we are. And our faith has got to have the corresponding works. It's got to have the corresponding actions that God's word demands. And it's pretty simple. So, works done based on what we do. You know, the word of God is our entire life, and our life is to be founded on it, and the works that we're supposed to do are to be done according to know that what we know is to be true, just like Rahab and Abraham did and many other believers that we know of. So, faith with corresponding actions, it's a high calling, and it's not easy, as we know, to make those determinations and decisions about how am I going to now walk on this situation when the world offers these other alternatives and other safety nets and all the other things that are out there to stop us from trusting God. How am I going to walk with believing to the point that I know that it's, you know, that I have the same reverence that Rahab had in her heart for the one true God, or Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, or King Darius, or Nebuchadnezzar, and all these men who said, oh my God, he's the God of gods. There's no God like your God. How are we going to have that respect to want to eat, you know, not eat the king's banquet for many years, but eat the other stuff, the pulse and stuff, as opposed to all the rich food and everything on the tables? How do you have that faith? How do you have that confidence? Say, I will walk, I will serve God, I will do whatever it takes. God help me, it doesn't matter. Your life on the line. That's what these men and women did. It's not a theoretical faith. It's a living faith. It's what we do day by day. So, yeah. Faith with works, not without. So God bless.